morning, everyone. It's good to be with you this morning. Before I begin, I just want to say a couple of things. First, thank you for giving me the opportunity to spend a week in Detroit Lakes for community organizing training. It was a powerful week, and I hope to bring back a lot of those insights and how we can be a better, stronger congregation together. The second thing is I ask for your prayers for Abigail. We took her to the ER yesterday, and she had a high fever. It turns out she has both strep throat and influenza A. She was doing better after we gave her some medicine last night, but please keep her in your prayers. Today, we read Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And perhaps it's safe to say that this story is a fish story. Every family with fishermen in it has a fish story of one kind or another. Sometimes it's the one that got away, which the fish gets bigger and bigger with every retelling. Sometimes it's the forced perspective fish photo where someone takes a picture of a fish holding it far from their body, and so it looks like the fish is the size of their leg or something like that. And the third kind of fish story is the one that is actually true and the one that actually changes lives. When I was my daughter's age, I came up to Otter Tail County quite a bit. Most of those lazy days were spent fishing those lakes, and my dad would give me a little cane pole. One day we were fishing in one of the Leaf Lakes when I caught a bluegill. As I was pulling it in, suddenly a large northern pike came up and swallowed the bluegill and hooked himself on the bait. The pole went into the lake. I couldn't hold on to it. I was so young. So Dad goes in, fishes it out, pulls in the pole with a 5-pound plus northern pike. That's the largest fish that I have ever caught, even to this day. And the experience really, even though I'm not much of a fisherman these days, it really gave me a glimpse into what I could do. I've caught that huge fish when I was so young. In Luke's gospel, we hear another fish story. As wild as this story is, the miracle is not as important as what happens afterwards. We find Jesus once again teaching beside the lake, which is a common enough occurrence for him. Jesus had been there before. He had clearly left Nazareth by this point and had set up his base of operations in Capernaum. He knew Peter, James, and John and their families and their fishing syndicate. He had healed Peter's mother-in-law in the chapter prior. They let him use one of their boats to teach the crowds from the shore. Jesus had clearly spent some time building relationships with Peter and the others before today's episode at the lake. So Jesus is there, he's in the boat, and after he finishes, he tells Peter to sail into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now, two things. First, Jesus is a landlubber. As far as Luke tells us, he has no training in sailing or fishing. His instincts seem all wrong, which brings me to my second point. It's the wrong time of day to fish. Productive hours for fishing would have been at night. Peter knows all this, but they've been skunked. No fish means no money. No money means no money for the tax man, which could potentially put their fishing rights in jeopardy. So Peter puts the nets out. He has little to lose at this point. And the catch is beyond Peter's wildest dreams. So huge that both of their boats began to sink. Peter, of course, is terrified. He didn't bargain for this. And we get to the crux of the story. Jesus has just done a miracle. He's brought a massive daytime catch for Peter and his partners. But curiously, Peter doesn't take this as a sign of divine favor or as a sign that God is satisfied with him where he is. He takes it in a different direction. He knows that the divine face is upon him in that moment. The face that, as we hear in Exodus, no one can look upon and live. Terrified, Peter pleads with Jesus, "Lord, go away from me, for I am a sinful man." Peter knows the depths of his unworthiness, the depths of his sinfulness. Jesus is no longer simply a wise teacher. Peter addresses him as master before, but he's no longer a mere master. Peter addresses Jesus with the placeholder name for Yahweh, the divine name, the one true God, the Lord of heaven and earth, is there before him. But Jesus will not go away, and Jesus sees something in Peter that Peter himself doesn't see. This is crucial. Up till now, Peter has been just a fisherman, pretty small time, scraping by with his business partners. But Jesus sees more in Peter and calls him to be more. Through their massive catch, Peter's been given, Jesus has shown Peter and his business partners and the crowd at the lake a glimpse of the wild abundance of the kingdom of God. And this is an abundance far more than the simply material. Jesus is pointing to an abundance of souls, an abundance of people who can become more together than any of them can imagine. In contrast to Rome, which saw people as mere tools of economic profit, Jesus sees people, sees Peter, sees us as beloved children of the Heavenly Father, whose birthright is to grow into his image in their own unique ways. Jesus has come not to make people powerless, as Rome did, but powerful, gifted, and equipped through his amazing grace. People of God, the Spirit has made us more powerful than we dare imagine. We are more than our jobs, our money, or our politics. We are children of God. Children of God, made so through baptism. We have a unique call to invite people into a deeper relationship with Christ. That is fishing for people. And it's not so other people can be just like us. It's so that they can discover true peace, true shalom, and be prepared to live lives in compassionate service. Only in Jesus Christ do we does the whole world find the shalom that makes us who we were called to be, who you and I were called to be. The story in Luke is fantastic, a fish story if there ever was one, but it is also a true fish story, a story that has not only changed Peter, but changed the whole world. Thanks be to God. Amen.